he's right here, so. Oh, we topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he on the sink.
Welcome back to the Bogey Boys podcast, said with a different tone this week.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Appear on Media Hub, because the Bogey Boys are dead.
Well, that's what I was going to get into. The Bogey Boys are dead. It's a very, very...
Somber one,
yeah. I don't know what else to say. For those who don't know, or just might have assumed we disappeared, we haven't. What's happened is Instagram have decided to take away almost 4 years of hard work and building a platform.
Yeah.
And Bogey Boys Pod Instagram page is no more. Over 10,000 followers, over 2,500 posts.
Gone in the blink of an eye.
In the blink, though.
And, like, do you know what? The actual violations that we'd done was just recording good shots on the PGA Tour and, like, trying to grow the game and promote good golf. I'm raging.
It's disgusting though, you've been treated like
I'm it's bad. Like, I feel like dobbing in every single person as he records my telly.
Honestly, it's so bad. You're right. All we tried to do was just engage in
just golf. Just golf. Like growing general, game. Like
we're not there physically in America and we can't record them off our own phone. So the only way that we can really use the content is to use somebody else's. So
or we go to the kazoo open.
We're not trying to earn money out of it.
No, like we're just literally like
just a media outlet, but anyway,
I was dying to do it again. You know, when A-Bird hit a driver and his head come off, the driver head come off. I was thinking, do I just screen record that and just get it out there? It's a sick video, but you know, it's one of them, it is what it is. But rebranding with a focus on appearing the athletes, the academy,
yeah. So we spoke about this, didn't we, Kev? It's given us a chance to take a step back and have a look at the work that we've done over the last 3 years, which has been unbelievable, and it really, we've met some great people, we've done some great interviews, and it's the interview part that, you know, we thought that we're going to come back around to. We've mentioned it on the podcasts so far this season about getting the appearing athletes on to tell their story and to start those journeys on the professional route. I know we've done some of them already, but, you know, catching up with the guys that we've not spoken to before on the podcast and then getting their stories and their journey and then bringing the podcast with the athletes throughout the season.
I think so, and then it'll show the progression of them as well. Like, for obviously, we went and played the 2020 event at Workshop, didn't we? And I remember asking Jack Brooks to do a podcast when I played the Mia Trophy like 2 years ago, and he was still amateur then. So now he's turned professional again. And it's like that story of him is rise and fall and rise again. It'll be a great podcast. We just need to get back into them and get a few nailed down. And
well, that's it. Yeah. So the rebrand is going to be, as you know, since we've started this new season, we've been doing the review with Stu. They're going to continue. We're going to do a 20 to 30 minute segment every week where we will take a look at the previous golf tournaments and take a look at the golf tournaments to come, give some insights from the great mind of Stu from SJP Golf Tips. And
talk about the money we won. That's what we're going to be doing.
Exactly that. And you won as well if you want to sign up.
Yeah.
And then alternatively to that, we're just going to be putting all our focus now on our brand appear on. As you can see, that's what we're wearing now. Kev's got the multi camo polo on. I've got the green mid layer with the multi cam side panels and pockets. We've actually got a Masters. It is Masters week. I don't know if you can see that, but there's the Masters book there from when Kev attended.
That's right. I've just got my little tag from when I attended. I like to bring it up.
I borrowed the cap while you're representing the Peon. So this is the bundle that's on offer at the moment. It's this, and it's this for $59.99 this week only while the Masters is on. It ends once that green jacket goes on. The winner, who will be this year? Who
do you think? Scotty Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler, yeah.
I think, Aberg.
I said Wyndham Clark, mate.
Wyndham Clark. It's fair enough. Yes,
yeah.
No,
yes. I know when Stu comes on later, he'll probably tell us why what we pick is right or is wrong. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, Scotty Scheffler. It's a great shout. Rory's got to do it eventually, surely.
Oh, yeah. I just think Sheffield's got too much firepower, and he's put on his with Phil now, and I just think it's...
He's won it before.
Won it before. Yeah. It's resulting in the last one, two, one, twice, and then he puts again the playoff, missed it, then he's coming out. It's like...
Yeah, for Jager.
It's just nothing down for anybody, I don't feel.
No, I know, he's up there every week. He's definitely going to be up there, we know that for sure, but...
But for anyone that's listening that doesn't know what we're talking about, Review with Stu, which is a segment that will be coming up in a minute, it's... Stu from SJP Golf Tips, and you can sign up at
www.sjpgolftips.com
and use code BogeyBoys at the checkout, and you get 33% off whatever subscription you desire. I think off the top of my head, for your outlay, points versus pounds, so it's whatever your point, every point is worth whatever you stake. So we do a fiver, don't we?
We do five point. For 1 point, yeah. So if he's putting 0.5 points each way, it's a £2.50 each way bet for us.
Yeah.
But you can do whatever
you want. You can do a pound, you can do 50 quid, it's whatever you want. I think he's 30 points up for the season.
It was a great month. Our first month was March. Yeah, it was a great first month. We had a number of first round leaders, albeit the odds that we got a beat were chopped slightly because of ties. But yeah, we've had, I think it was three or four winners throughout the month of...
Well, the first week, he won in every market, didn't he? First round leader, both sides of the board, in two places on the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, so...
Exactly, yeah, just for us, it just makes the golf a bit more interesting. But going back to the rebranding, yeah, like we've said, you know, so this is going to be basically the last podcast that we do where we introduce you. There's going to be no Birdie Bogey Bust anymore, which is a shame. We're not going to be doing golf news reviews anymore. But on the flip side of things, what you are going to get from the podcast and from the rebrand of the Piron Media Hub is insights into what it's like playing on the lower tours. We've obviously, through the brand, we've built up a great reputation and great friendships and partnerships with a number of players across Tartan Tour, Clutch Tour, 2020 Pro Tour, Alps Tour, Sunshine Tour, etc. So we're going to start to give some real insights straight after tournaments are finished. You know, if Jack Brooks loses in a playoff or back nine card playoff in a tournament on Tartan Tour, we'll get him straight on the podcast. You'll be able to get the insight of what it's like at those events to lose those type of tournaments, and likewise when we have winners, straight on the podcast, understanding, you know, what that winning feeling's like and what they are looking to achieve for the season.
And I think as the years go on and we're talking Alps, we're talking Clutch, we're talking Tartan, as the athletes and the brand progresses, we'll be talking Challenge, we'll be talking DP, we'll be talking major winners, appearing on athlete major winners. Well, that's the vision, isn't it?
Well, listen, you know, when we done the podcast with Ewan Ferguson was a Challenge Tour player, now he's a DP World Tour winner. You know, when we done a podcast with Richard Mansell, he was playing on the DP World Tour, but he just started, hadn't won.
Yeah.
Still hasn't won, but he's, you know, he's a much more established player, and he's doing well now. So, you know, any player like Gemma Driver, another one, when we spoke to Gemma Driver, she didn't have an LPGA Tour card, now she's an LPGA Tour winner. So, you know, for us... Those going back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, when we took a step back when the account was taken from us, and we look back at what we'd achieved over the 2.5-3 years we've been doing this, it's great to see like some of the stories, some of the podcasts that we had, some of the players we spoke to, players at the top level of the game on both men's
like,
and women's.
Like speaking to Charlie Hull, Hunter Mayer, and Hudson Swafford.
Well, this is it. Yeah, we're speaking to caddies. You know, we're speaking to Howard Barnard the third caddy now. Chris Rice, you know, we spoke to Pew Dog, you know, two caddies who are now on the live side of things. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there'll be no issues just getting them back on and talking live with them again. But we want to sort of focus our interviews on the players that we're supporting through the
No, definitely, yeah. Because then
bring that to life.
And also, then you with the giving back, we're starting to get a bit more money. People's codes, people are using the codes like. People are going in using like AC10, Adam Chapman. So on the back of that, we've now entered Chappers into the One League tournament. Yeah. Then it gives other people can see. We can do a full video of how Chappers gets on, put it on YouTube, to document the day, and then it'll inspire other people to get their code out to the friends, to the family, to people, their followers that they know,
yeah,
and get more people wearing the Piron, and by that giving back, and it creates that whole ecosystem, which we've always spoke about, but it's actually coming to life.
That's it. That's definitely it. Well, on the point of the appearing athletes, let's talk about Friday workshop.
Friday, wow, yeah. So
you go first.
Unbelievable, yeah. 2020 event workshop where Lee Westwood grew up. We started off with a bit of a rattler, didn't it? Like getting there and my 1.6 got me zero shots and your 5.7 got you five. So we were, I get up against the cost straight away.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, so we played and then Jack Brooks, who I was in the group with, not actually playing with, I was partnered with Jack McPhail. Jack started well. Jack was 1 under through six, or no, 2 under through six, but Jack was 4. And it was like, it was just unbelievable. In fact, he was 5. He started with 5 threes. It was just unbelievable golf. Like, and he went on from there. He had a putt on the 10th to go 8 under, 2 putted it. Then he knocked another one on the 11th. He went, so he was 8 under to 11. And then a couple of 3 puts back 9, a couple of birdies, finished 7 under to half of the lead. And it was just, he has every single green. And I think he missed like 2 fairways. I've never seen anyone be that more in control of a golf ball.
Well, that's, yeah, it's interesting you say that, because obviously he's had 2 3-putts there. You know, every pro, every golfer, always, you minimise the mistakes, don't you? And try and keep the 3 puts off the cards, because they're the easiest ones to eradicate, really.
Yeah.
You know, so he's potentially got a 9 under under his belt there if he just 2 puts them, which, you know, is easier said than done. I'm sure he held a few big ones as well. That's another day, might not
that's it. Yeah, he did like not rob a few, but he held on the first, he held like a 35, 40 footer, and on the 11th, he held a big one.
Yeah.
So, obviously, taking them away. But one of the 3 putts was like from downtown. It was forgivable, but the one on 17, just, it wasn't forgivable.
Well, golf's fine margins, isn't it? So, what you just mentioned there, 400 through six, I played with Dan Croft. He was my pro in the pro am, and he was also 400 through six. Made an eagle on the 5th hole, drivable par 4.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was on forward tees. Yeah, he hit this driver to about 10 foot and just rolled it in. Unbelievable. And then a couple of steady pars. Then he gets to the 9th hole. So 9 and 10 were playing back-to-back par 5s, weren't they?
Yeah.
So he's hit the green in 2 on the par 5. So he's got a 2-putt to go 5 under, front 9. He 3-putts it. So finishes the front 9, 4 over. And then out of nowhere...
4 under.
4 under, sorry. And then out of nowhere... The next one's a bit of a dogleg right, isn't it?
No, that was horrible.
It was a weird tee shot on it, because it was uphill and then there was trees left, trees right. But if you hit it on a straight line, it wasn't that much to carry. So Dan took out driver and hit his driver, but he hit it well, but he just started on the wrong line. It's gone straight into the trees. It's his provisional. He's ended up making a 7 on the hole. And then when he's looked back, because he's never played the course before, he was like, I would never have a driver on that hole if I'd have known what I was coming up against. So we talk about fine margins there. Like, if he, that 10th hole, I know you can't guarantee birdies, but that 10th hole from where his driver was, his second shot was just short of the green. And then he hits this chip, it doesn't move anywhere because it's wet. And then he 2 putts, ends up with a 7, which would have been a 5 par, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So could have easily made birdie there, and birdie on the last. So you're talking, he would have been 6 under then, and then he had one more birdie coming in. So he played well enough to shoot the 7 under score that was there to win, but he ends up shooting 4 and 3 under.
Yeah.
4 shots different. So that's what I mean.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Fine margins on the scorecard. You look at it, he's shot 3 under, and I think as he just won at Wallasey.
He just won today, yeah, 2 under at Wallasey.
I could see that, because watching him play, he didn't hit a bad shot. Even the 7 that he had, his second drive off the tee was good. His next shot just short of the green, the par 5 was good. The chip that he played was good. It just dug into the ground on the first bounce. And then the putt that he hit was good. It just missed. It was like 8 foot, 10 foot, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and then throughout the round, he didn't hit a bad shot. He was hitting greens. Towards that back nine was much more difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit more tight.
Yeah, just a bit more difficult shots to play. So, yeah, I think you're talking there, you know, it's great to see so early in the season the athletes playing so well, isn't it?
It is, but when you talk about them fine margins as well, obviously, Jack was 6 under front nine. Jack McPhail was 4 under front nine. And I was 1 under front nine, but I was hitting it. And I was I just looking back, it's I birdied the first, airmailed the second into a bush, had to drop, got up and down, snap up the next one into a bush. then chipped in for the eagle on the next, and I was like, so I'm like level, and I'm walking to the next, chip up 10 foot, miss it, 10 foot, miss it, and then birdie the ninth, like all pars around, and birdie the ninth with a 2 foot, and I was miles off because of the mistakes. So yeah. It's like you can make the birdies and the eagles and all that, but it's keeping them doubles and stupid bogeys off your card. It's, well, that's just
it. Yeah, it was literally just the ninth green and the 10th tee shot that was the difference. So literally, like the putt for
about
birdie,
10 minutes.
Literally the one putt for birdie that he missed and ended up 3 putting for par, and then the following tee shot. Those two shots is what's cost them 3, maybe 4 shots.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but we'll get them all on the podcast to talk about, obviously, you know, what their ambitions are for this year. Obviously, I know we've spoke to them anyway. We know that they're looking to, you know, qualify for the Open, get Challenge Tour cards, you know, try and enter.
Seems to be a big push up Tartan ways, doesn't it? Because of the entry fees are a bit lower, and you're getting down there.
Whereas location
as well.
Yeah, like a lot of the clubs are down south, aren't they? Whereas the Tartans up north. So I think it is that north-south divide now as well.
Yeah. When you do look like we're travelling to the 2020 over there, you've got down to this clutch, you've got up to Tartan. There is, like, I know the 1836 used to be around, didn't it? But there is, like, all the golf around here, there's room for the tour around here.
Yeah.
1,000,000%.
It is, yeah. And you've got some fantastic golf courses, haven't you, as well?
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Let's get it on.
I think
on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we have got a good split now. We've got 20 pros, which you've already mentioned. I think we've got, the split is six on Tartan Tour this year, maybe seven on Clutch this year, Alps Tour, Sunshine Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, as I say, like, once you're going to, obviously, if some people get it, a couple, like Chappell's got a couple of challenge starts, so they need two. Then I've seen Paul Kinnear posting about that one tour, that's a new tour coming up. Doing big moves.
Yes, for anyone who's not seen that, it's shotgun start, one day event, $10,000 first prize.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as a bit of a mix of the live concept with the shotgun start and the Rose Lady series with the one day $10,000 first prize.
That's
it. Really good, yeah.
I think it's, do you know what it is as well? Like, I know people, like, anyone can have a good round, can't they?
Yeah.
Like, if you know, you don't have to, like, think about the tournament. That's all you've got then and there. So if you can go low, you're going to be attacking
everything. You're going to see aggressive. Yeah,
like the aggressive, like obviously I play with Chappers in Portugal and Adam Chapman, and how aggressive he is just on a casual knock it's frightening. It's just driving everywhere. So like someone like that, his game could be suited to that at $10,000. Tees your season off.
Yeah.
You could, if he's only playing Tartan, and then next week he's got a bit more money, he plays a few clutch. You don't know what can happen from that.
Well, that's
string ball people.
It's you know who I always think of, that Marco Peng.
Yeah.
You know, Marco Peng. You know, he had a bit of an injury, didn't he? And he was coming back from an injury, but Marco was playing like a lot of clutch, a lot of 2020, and then got Challenge Tour, and then qualified in, I think it was one season maybe. In his first full season on the Challenge Tour back after his injury, got his DP World Tour card, and now he's like top 15, top 20 sometimes on the DP World Tour. You know, so I think once you get to that, if you've got it, you've got it. Haven't you? You know,
that's
he's obviously
proven
that his game is at that level, and there's so many more golfers of that ability. Like, we played with a lot of top golfers. I was so impressed with Dan on Friday.
Yeah,
like the way he played, the way, you know. It's the mannerisms of like the pre-shot routine, and everything's taken so seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything is so structured. You know, he made one mistake with a club on 10, which cost him a double bogey and cost him the tournament, essentially.
That's it. And same with Jack, like Tees the Green, like you bought, like Jack's a little bit less structured. He's just quite free and quite like, it is what it is, and takes everything in stride and doesn't let things bother him. And it's, you need both sides of it, don't you? Like, once he's over the ball, he's into his routine and he's at it.
Yeah.
And then, but like when he's not, you're chatting about anything, and you're there, and he's helping his arm.
You've got to switch off.
But it's even like the Jack's got a putt for 9 under, and then he's going to read his playing partner's put for like a bogey to try and say you'll get the two points in on, yeah, on the scorecard sort of thing.
Yeah,
which is like that's sort of what you need, that little bit of like not taking it too seriously, but then switching on to be like, right, it's game time.
Yeah, of course.
And then letting the, obviously it's cliche in it, but just letting the bad go and just taking it one step at a time moving forward.
Definitely.
But I was impressed with, obviously my partner was Jack McPhail.
Yeah.
He, I think he shot 4 under.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Or 4 under.
It was, yeah.
And so we were 9 under as a team together, me and him.
Second place
in the pro-am, yeah. I love picking up second place in pro-ams, mate.
I know, when you're going what?
It's coming. We made a bogey, didn't we? Both of us bogeyed the 13th.
Yeah.
But it was a tough old round to the right. Obviously, it's too far through the fairway, and he's left himself blocked out a little bit on the right.
We had 40 stable foot points, and Dan had 39 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got 4 for 3.
You were a good spectator.
I was on the card. The one hole he needed me with that double bogey, and I just threw his left in the trees. I threw mine right.
Did you?
Gone.
Yeah, that's where I was. I knocked my hand right. Did you find your ball?
No,
that's, I was foresty, that one.
What if the snake was going to come and get me through the leaves? Yeah, it's impossible. That's it. You know what? Lovely track that. I mean, the greens for that time of year in the weather that we've had, I thought were great. They were a bit long and slow, but the way they rolled was fantastic.
Mate, if anybody's around the northwest, you want to get themselves to SNA, the greens there were unbelievable.
You come in and talk about SNA, please.
Oh, well, what happened to you on Saturday?
It's not been a good time for me. I shot 103.
Oof.
On Saturday.
There's only one thing you can take from that is you've done well to stay out there.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Storm Kathleen, was it? 40-mile-an-hour winds, is that what they were calling it?
What a clue.
There was a storm. There was definitely a storm. Well, I'm going to say there was a storm. 40-mile-an-hour winds. It was blowing a hoolie. And my confidence was low off. Losing about 5 balls, 6 balls at works off the day before. And yeah, I said to myself, obviously I didn't realise it was going to be so windy because I didn't check the weather conditions. I just thought I'd go and play. I want to start trying to play a bit more and get a few cards in. And I said to myself on the practice ground, right, just try and keep doubles off the card today. So me playing handicap at SNA is normally 7. It's gone up to 9 now. So when I got my card, they said, you've got 9 shots today. So I was thinking, how am I not winning this?
You know, 9 shots?
You know what I'm like? I know. It's like when you first started the pod on 9.
Yeah.
9 to scratch, that could be it.
This is it. Yeah, that's what you do. That's what Bogey Boys do.
Yeah, isn't it?
Appear on Media Hub representatives.
Am I doing qualifying for Open?
Get on it, please.
No chance. So anyway, first of all, it's off the back white tees, downwind, 6 iron. Into the bunker, duffed the bunker, shot out, 3 putt, great start, double bogey, just after saying,
don't keep a double bogey. You've been had enough psychologists on the pod, you know the man doesn't register the word don't.
So I want to keep saying don't eat that biscuit.
Yeah, and the extra biscuit's gone.
So, and then second hole, got an 8.
At least you didn't make a double.
That's it. So I started double, treble, and then the third hole, I've made a par. I've hit driver straight down the middle, then I've hit a 9 iron just over the back of the green, and I've 2 putted it just off the green for a par. So I'm thinking, well, that's how you play golf, you know. Then obviously you turn the corner to 4, long into a hoolie. So I know I'm like an iron off the back tee on 4. But I thought I was a 3 wood because I can't drive it into the wind ever. It's just a mindset thing I've got, which Croft is going to sort out. Anyway, and then, yeah, I've made a double there. Then I've made a double on the next. Then I've made a double on the next, I think. Then I've made a double on the next. Then I've made a bogey.
Oh, you should have said, I only want to make doubles today.
Anyway, yeah, 103.
One take part all day.
Take off me. I'm just trying to work that out. I didn't miss a single green in regulation.
That's
not one. The only one that I did actually hit. Oh no, I did.
So you prepared your pitch, man.
No, I hit the 10. I hit the 10.
Right.
I put it about 10 foot on 10. That was the best shot of the day. Just had me a veggie shoot.
as if you're 18 over through now and didn't get a beer. Like,
I know. Do you know what? You know what it's like. it's so easy to just go, NR, the weather's terrible, you're miles away.
The only good thing about SNA, well, there's a lot of good things about it, but the good thing about the ninth being miles away, like a phone bill, you're there, your car's there. It's just like, oh, boys, I'm off.
Yeah, yeah. The bar's
like
there.
Like the bar's there, food's there, it's warm. Like, see you later, mate.
No, but it was, do you know, it was a dark place at times on that golf course, to be fair, because you think that, like, oh, a miles away, shackles off, just relax, and you start maybe getting a few good shots. None of that.
No?
None of that. It was just a battle the whole time. So, yeah, shot at 103 for a net 94, come dead last, minus the NRs. Nobody else beat that.
No. Wooden spoon.
So, yeah, straight on the phone to Dan. I was like, after these academy sessions, mate, you're going to have to stay for half an hour and try and sort this out.
Well, so, speaking of the Imperial Academy, it's gone well, hasn't it? I've had a couple of people message. Yeah. Obviously, one of the lads won the society twice. We've got another lad who said this. He didn't miss 30 shots in a row on the range, and we all know, obviously, the range of the course is different, but he starts off missing the ball nearly.
When he said he's never felt more confident.
And he's never felt more confident coming out to it. We've got another lad that's handicapped down by 6 shots.
The testament to the academy is that people come back.
Yeah, people
like, come we've back. Got a session now that runs on a Tuesday that's basically just a rolling session because of what you're getting for the price that you pay and you're getting the lessons. It's basically, you can pay to go and go the range yourself. And then what's 100 balls now? Tenner?
Yeah.
So over 6 weeks, £60. Yeah, that's fair enough. But for £150, you get your golf polo shirt and you get tutorials as well.
And you get that relaxed like environment where you're having a laugh with people, you're meeting new people, you're out there. It's an accountability. You can go to the range or you say you go to the range. But just don't bother.
One of the lads joins the society as well.
Nice. Brilliant. So,
and he wants to come back and do the next session again, first time. And it is great to see, like, the improvements just off, you know, small changes, but that have such big effects.
That's it, small changes.
So signs up.
Nice. Send you 150 then.
You can keep your polo.
Oh, brilliant.
Right then, so as I say, appear on Media Hub. We'll be back with a number of different
angles,
interviews, podcasts. Don't get me wrong, when the majors are about, we will jump back on to have a chat in more detail about the majors. But for now, should we get Stu on, do the review with Stu and call it a day?
Let's get it on.
Welcome back again, Stu. SJP Golf Tips returned after a little bit of a break since we've not been doing the podcast the last couple of weeks. Before we get started, shall we have a little roundup of how March went as a whole? Because it was a good month, weren't it?
We had three winners in the month and lots of places as well. So, yeah, it's been a relatively good start to the year. Knocking on the door quite a bit, you know, as links back to some of the stuff we talked about at the beginning of our segment. You know, you can only have one winner per event. We've had a lot. I think since we've been doing this, we've had 2 seconds as well as those. So, yeah, you just keep doing the same sort of stuff. Stay patient and you only really need those one or two. And even a few of the winners we've had have been unlucky that we've had ties and like a guy birdieing the last to take some of our profits away and things. So, yeah, we've got to be in it for the long haul.
Always in the mix, though, aren't we? Always in the mix.
Yeah, yeah. You know, even last night, I mean, we had Max Homer got us some money in the first round leader in Texas we put out. And then we had like three inside the top 14. With Jordan Spieth, Aberg, and I think the other one was, can't remember the third one off the top of my head, but yeah, they're always there or thereabouts. You just need on that Sunday, it was a bit of a random event. Like, I don't know if you guys know or what you've talked about on your main podcast, but the two guys that went in the playoff, both of them broke every single record for 53 years on the PGA Tour in terms of strokes gained. So it's quite remarkable that not only one person did it, but both of them obliterated every single statistic in 53 years. Denny McCarthy and the guy that went on to win, which is just you can't legislate for those sorts of stuff. And obviously there was then like 6 shots right the way back to third. But yeah,
was it the last six or the last seven holes in a row, wasn't it? Denny McCarthy birdie to get a playoff.
Seven in a row, and then completely fatted one from the middle of the field.
It's the water.
Remarkable.
Yeah. That's gold, isn't it? You can't do anything about that, can you? That's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so we're on to my favourite week of the year. It sort of is the unofficial start of the golf season. It ties in with us in the UK, doesn't it? Even though you wouldn't know it with the weather, we keep getting dealt, but it gets everyone excited. The Masters, nice to see that same course every year. I really like that compared to the others that travel around. You feel sort of attached to some of the holes and the storylines a bit more.
In my opinion.
You know what's going on, don't you? Like when you're watching people at chat, you think, oh, we'll target it that year, or like Dustin Johnson done this that year. You can relate to it all, can't you? Where they're throwing new courses at you. You don't know what's happening.
And it's also, a bit of a burden, isn't it?
Both ways as well, like positives, like you say, you know, we can, top of your head, you can remember Mickelson making eagle from the pine straws on 13. And then the negative, you know, we can remember the likes of Francesco Molinari making a big number on the par 5 15th for Tiger's year. Spieth winning and losing on the 12th hole. There's all sorts of...
Tiger's 10 on the 12th as well.
Wow, we forget about that.
But that's it. Well, like just going on what Kev said then, it's the familiarities of the course itself, but it's also the field as well. You know, again, for probably only going to see it four times this year, but we're going to see Live and the PGA Tour come together. So we are going to have the strongest field in golf for the majors, which it's a shame we don't get to see it week in, week out. But nevertheless, there's no more better time to have it than our Augusta, I suppose.
Yeah, reduced field, invitation only. I think there's now with the last minute entries, those that got invites and qualified through Texas, I think there's 89 is the final field, which is unusual for the highest level of golf. But it's I think it's going to be a positive this week. If you've had a quick look at the weather that's due, there's some storms, there's some wet weather over there as well. Might be some delays, and with less players, it allows them to catch up a bit more. They can do two tee starts and get them caught up, which to prevent a Monday finish. So yeah, there's going to be some conditions to deal with this week as well.
How does that impact the work that you do then when you're putting your picks together? I know you say the weather and tee times are definitely something you look at. So how's that impacted this week?
I've already started to look at, a big word that I use is trends. So there are certain categories that you can look at. I pay for information databases behind paywalls, which gives you custom built information data, which a lot of the tour pros themselves subscribe to because they don't have access to it. And that tells you that you've got to be strong on par fours. The par fours are where the difference maker at Augusta, you know, even in the discussions that we've just had there, we've mentioned par threes and par fives. I mentioned the 13th, you mentioned the 12th. They're the same for everybody, but it's actually the par fours that can play quite challenging. And that's the difference maker over the last 20 years since it's 23 years since the data has been captured. In addition to that, you have to be familiar. We talked weeks ago about what we would probably classify as the environment. So this is the first week of the season. They actually change grass. So they've moved from Florida, which is Bermuda grass. It's now what's called bent grass. And, you know, this is now agronomy and geography and things that you wouldn't even consider. But it is a massive difference between how people succeed and how they don't. An instance of that, you know, this is why McIlroy has been there or thereabouts many times at the Masters. His preferred grass type is bent grass for putting. So he is actually the third ranked player in the entire field for putting on bent grass. Unfortunately, one of those two people above him in that rank is Scottie Scheffler. And we know historically he's struggled with putting. So to see that he's actually, in the midst of his struggles, performed the second best out of everybody at putting on these greens is a bit of a worry for the rest of the field. A previous winner of the Masters, of course, as well. And amazingly, one that defies both sides of statistics is Ludvig Åberg, or Åberg, I think it's pronounced. So he is the number one putter in the field on bent grass greens. However, he's never played at Augusta under tournament conditions before, or indeed any major. Which
I was going to say that's surely got to play a factor, because we talk all the time about those Augusta greens, don't they, and the part that plays in. I know we talk about bent grass, but it's not just the grass at Augusta, is it? It's the undulation on them and the speed as well.
That's it, yeah. So on one hand, you've been given some positive information there about Åberg. On the other hand, we know that out of every single venue during the season, Augusta has the number one correlation of course history and sort of previous experience. So that again tells us that every single winner has played there before, has improved their knowledge every time they've played. You know, so that is a massive indicator that you've got to look at as well. There's only ever been, I think, Fuzzy Zeller in the 1970s, who won on his first appearance. Everyone has got that sort of repetition of playing there, understanding the misses, the extra break that you might need if you're on different sides of the hole, maybe a different line that you can comfortably and confidently take on a par four that you wouldn't do on first glance type thing. And all these things add up. Then you've got the whole state of Georgia. So over the course of a year, there are a smattering of other events that add up. So you're looking for someone. And again, over the last 23 years, the winner has had a top 10 in a corresponding PGA Tour event within Georgia. And either of the last two PGA Tour events in the lead up, they've had a top 10 as well. So this is where you will get me on a different tangent with regards to now factoring in LIV and LIV Golf, because they've only played once in Miami in the last month, whereas the PGA Tour have played every single week, full field, four rounds, getting close to tournament conditions and the different types of setups. So I'd be very interested. I know there's a few LIV golfers playing well, a lot of noise around Neiman, Koepka, DeChambeau, Jon Rahm, defending champion. I'd be very interested to see from a viewer, as well as obviously betting, how they are able to now navigate their way through a major, because obviously a few of them have experience of coming from LIV to a major last year, but Jon Rahm, this is his first season on LIV, and he's defending champion, which will take a lot of media attention away. I would be interested if he's quite as sharp as, say, a McIlroy, who came third last night, straight away into the groove of defending and competing at the highest level.
So just on that point there, before we move on, you obviously mentioned there with Rory playing yesterday, finishing third, and then the likes of Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods, who decided not to play and take a break, and then to go and practice at the Masters the week before the tournament. Do you take much into that? Does that come into play, the fact that you're having a week off from tournament golf, or you're going straight in from a tournament? How does that work in your mindset?
Yeah, it does come into play. Each individual will have different reasons. So the two you mentioned, Tiger, of course, we know now, unfortunately, his body. So he will be protecting his body so he doesn't jeopardize the four tournament rounds. Justin Thomas, his golf game is very interesting. He's actually hitting the ball very well. Struggled with short game since we last spoke. He's sacked Bones, his caddy. Phil Mickelson's old caddy. He's now got a new caddy on the bag. So, again, a bad workman never blames his tools type thing. Does he need to get to know him better off the course? So there's always reasons. Me personally, and again, you know me well enough through these discussions, data-driven would tell me I would rather be under tournament conditions in the lead-up to the Masters. And I would rather be a McIlroy who's coming off a lot of golf, self-professed. He wanted to play a lot more coming into this Masters. And his stats got better. He'd been struggling with his irons approaches. And he was actually ranked number one in the field for that. And he finished third. So I think McIlroy is going to go close. I would question sometimes the mentality as it gets to the back nine on Sunday, but he's too good a golfer and he's already got four majors. He's not going to be far away and actually fits a lot of what we've discussed. So there are 19 different data parameters, which include, I've got them all written down, so I'll just reel a few off. And this just tells you the level and the extent that you can go down, because every single winner of the Masters at Augusta has played the week before, played in either of the last 2 weeks, so one or the other. They had a top 10 in the last month in the lead up to this event. The rank within the top 10 off the tee. They've played at Augusta before and have a top 10 in one of the last five appearances. They've played in Georgia before, so it's not a first-time visit to the state. Also, looking at things like scrambling, they appear at scrambling. We know you're going to miss a lot of greens, so you're going to have to hit a chip into the right area. They're ranked in the top percentage of par three scoring. We know how tough the par threes are, and so on and so on. So they're actually 19 of those type of statistics that fit every single winner. So taking that forward, and as I said...
Does that even include Tiger, who's thought he never played the week before a major?
One of the previous two. So it's not necessarily the direct week. For Tiger's case, it might have been the one before that.
So
within the last fortnight. So taking those forward and asking sort of the database to give us the name, as you always say, what does that mean? Nobody meets all 19. There is one golfer in the field who hits 17 of those 19 boxes, which is Scottie Scheffler.
give him the jacket now.
he's almost, in certain bookmakers, he's 3-1. The absolute best price you can get on him is 4-1. So, you know, as I've told you before, in majors, a lot of bookmakers in the UK offer what we would call enhanced places. So you get more place terms. So whether it be 10 or sometimes 12. So I would rather know that and have a golfer who's maybe 20-1 who hits 15 of the 19 boxes. So I'll give you another name, Xander Schauffele. Again, maybe not one of the more prolific winners. He's won 6 times on tour now and he's a serial runner-up. Obviously, you know, we talked about him at the Players and he managed to grab loss from the jaws of victory. But I'd rather have him at 20-1 finishing 8th or 9th and still a fifth of those odds or a quarter of those odds is higher than Scheffler winning and beating everybody. So it's all about value. What would you rather have, 12 chances of getting money or just one chance of getting money? And I'd be leaning towards, in terms of the better bet, is Xander Schauffele, because you've got, he still could overachieve and win, but you've got 11 other places to make the same amount of money back or points in our lingo.
Just on that though, not being negative here, but you've also got to take into account the ties as well.
You do.
You've got 12 places, but then that could be 15, 20, 30 golfers.
It could. It might not be that many that high up the leaderboard, but yeah, I get what you're saying. You might end up in tight with 10 other golfers or something. So yeah, you do get eaten into, which is a fair point.
On the betting markets, is there no way that you can? And this is just me not understanding the markets as well as you. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler is ticking 17 of the 19 boxes, but the odds for him to win are obviously too low for us to want to back that because of what you've just explained. But can you not do a Scottie Scheffler to win and somebody else to place to enhance the odds?
Yeah. Again, it's bookmaker specific. So doing what I do, and as we talked about in week one, I'm kind of governed by industry rules and regulations. I can't offer a tip if it's only available in one location. So an individual, if they're with William Hill or with Sky Bet or Paddy Power or any of these, they might have access to what you're describing, but somebody else might not. So I'm only sort of allowed to offer a tip if it's available in three locations. So, yeah, you know, it's kind of similar to football terms now where you can build a bet, request a bet. So, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, we might go Schauffele to win and Schauffele to place in the top 10, and you might get 15 to 1 or something. But that might only be available with one bookmaker rather than three.
Okay. Understood. What are the
Nick? Sorry, just going back a little bit to the Ludwig Eybjerg, like he, when you're talking about him breaking record, like his statistics are mad because he's never played a major and he's the best putter. Like, is he like somewhere in your mind of like doing something out of the ordinary special? Because obviously he's won Ryder Cups and he's won both sides of the pond before he's even played a major. Like he's, if he's going to go on and do the things that we think he is, he's obviously, the stats aren't really, like he's hitting greens with no driver head, isn't he? Like he's,
absolutely.
He's special, isn't he?
What sticks out to me there and what would be available in every bookmaker is, knowing what we know now, your listeners and viewers, is he's going to be a pretty good bet in the top debutant market. So going up against everybody else who's never played there, and everything that you've just said, plus the stats behind it, he ticks 15 of the 19 boxes. Of course, the four that he doesn't tick will be played Augusta before, etc. So we know he's going to miss some. But of the others, he's top of everything. So you might go quite strong on top debutants or something like that. Top European, maybe, at slightly higher odds. You would do a bit of a, maybe, what do they say, instinctive type bet. He might not win the tournament at first effort, but yeah, he will perform very highly. And on what market can we exploit that in? Top debutant, he's going to again be very similar odds to Scheffler, so you may wish to do a double, and that's back into what Mark said, where you might get Scheffler to win the tournament and Eybjerg to be top debutant, and that might give you some good odds. We can be quite creative with majors. There's lots of different markets.
Definitely. So, yeah, no, I mean, what else have we got to look forward to in our Augusta? As you obviously got the bent grass. You mentioned there storms. Tee times are not out yet, are they?
No, tee times won't be out. First round leader market, you know, that's the one that we do the best in. It can be quite tricky at Augusta because the limited field, they're quite concertinaed. So the variables that we've talked about in previous weeks aren't quite as exaggerated. So there's only 89 players, like I said, rather than 156. So those spike marks, the durability of the greens isn't going to be as big an issue. They tee off a little bit later in the morning and a little bit earlier in the afternoon. So the gap in terms of time isn't as much. But yeah, we've been quite successful there. There's lots of people who have good records of getting off to a fast start at Augusta. Again, the data backs it up. Got it right in front of me. You're looking at people like Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele again, Russell Henley. These are three people who have the best records in round one at the Masters. We're not necessarily saying they're going to stick around all 4 days, but they hit the ground running well. Why that is, it various different reasons. But those are three guys who you might look to do well. Hideki Matsuyama is another one. He's been first-round leader twice. Justin Rose has been first-round leader three times at Augusta. These stats mean something. There's a reason for it. They're comfortable. They've not got as much expectation on day one. They sort of freewheel it a little bit. Maybe the flags are a bit more amenable to birdies that they go after. But we're looking at those sorts of names, and that's where the odds grow, you know. In a major, you'll be able to get top eight in the first round, and Justin Rose will be about 80 to 1. And that is, again, for half a point, 50p of anybody's money, for someone who's done it three times already. And Matsuyama is about 20 to 1 to win the whole event. He'll be about 33 or 40 to 1, nearly double, on just round one, which he's done twice already and had a further two top fours in the first round. So these are the things. and the edge that you can kind of look for when the Masters arrive.
Superb, as always, mate.
Yeah, yeah, no, exciting. I love it. It's probably now the only major I watch wall to wall. I like the Open because it's in England for us. But yeah, I love the Masters. So that'll be me Thursday night right through till Sunday night, or potentially Monday for this week.
It sort of helps that the weather's not really the best as well here, because once it's on telly, you just want to get out there, don't you? But if it's a bit wet and windy,
yeah,
you can snuggle up on the couch with a few beers and watch it go.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. In terms of names, as I say, my eyes are drawn to Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama. I think Matt Fitzpatrick will go close to his second major in the US. And I'd rather have these guys on side than Scheffler at 4-1. Fitzpatrick's 40-1 in places. He's trending really nicely. The best putter in the world, bar none, although Denny McCarthy would probably not like that. But even statistically, Denny McCarthy's number two, Matt Fitzpatrick's number one. We know putting is probably one of the most important things at Augusta. We learned that when we had him earlier on in the year, he had an issue with his clubs and his weight that he's rectified. He's taken the weight out. He's playing a lot better. I have high hopes for him. I quite like him as well, personally. A nice, comes across very well on the Netflix documentary, him and his brother. Nice that he's relatively local to us in Sheffield. I like his caddy. I was a long-term admirer of Darren Clark and Lee Westwood growing up. So to have on the same caddy even all these years later, and of course started with Seve as well, so all that experience of Augusta with Billy Foster has got to count for something as well. So he's kind of my sneaky suspicion. I think he's going to be top 10 if not better. Matsuyama, previous winner, trending very nicely, playing very well, ticks a lot of those boxes we talked about. And I got Jordan Spieth, his record at Augusta is insane. He is number three in the field, strokes gained. He's had 2 fourths, 2 seconds, a win. Incredible, because he can get away with a lot more. And his creativity, like Seve, like Tiger, like Mickelson, he's kind of the 21st century type player. The area for... The margin for error is a lot more in his favor than others. He can get out of trouble where other people can't. So those are the names we're looking at. And best of luck to anyone following in, and enjoy the start of the golf season.
Definitely, yeah. And just as a reminder there, anybody who wants to obviously join the subscription.
The movement,
yeah. You can use code BOGEYBOYS. That'll give you 33% off the subscription costs. And you can sign up at www.sjpgolftips.com.
That's right. Yep. And that's live well. So anybody coming through your guys' code, that's not just a one-off discount. That's every single recurring month or year. It's a lifetime discount.
And that gives you access to all of the first-round leader markets that you put out on a Wednesday, and obviously winning.
Yeah, and some special novelty ones for majors as well. You know, the bookmakers give us some chance for other markets we don't get in the other 47 weeks of the year. As I said, top debutant, top GB&I, top live probably will be one. And you can generally join those together. So, just to give you one final one there, which might be worth a fiver, we can go top Englishman, Matt Fitzpatrick, in the same bet as top debutant, Ludvig Åberg, and maybe top Asian, Hideki Matsuyama. You put those three things together, you're looking at a 20-25-1 bet, which is a very, very good chance of coming in compared to Scheffler winning the whole thing at 4-1.
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
As they say. Well, look, appreciate you as always, Stu. Obviously, we'll catch you next week to have a look back at what became of the Masters 2024.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks again.
Nice one, Stu.
Cheers, Stu.
See you later. Bye.
No, mate.
See you later, mate. No, we'll obviously now that we obviously spoke to Stu, we've understood what is going on at Augusta. It's going on at
Augusta. Sanjay Yim was foul.
Now that we know what's going on, based on Stu, you know, them 19 points there, Scotty Scheffler 17, but Lundberg, Aberg with 15 of them.
Yeah.
Manchester one, isn't it?
Well, that's it. I think if there's anyone going to shock the world, like I said to Stu, then it's going to be him, isn't it? If anyone's going to break statistics and break records, it's him.
Yeah.
I can't look past Scheffler, can't look past Aberg, and my heart always makes me do the big cat, doesn't he? So,
yeah.
That's that.
So, yeah, let's do a scenario. Tiger Woods is one back with five to play. Rory McIlroy is one ahead, playing together. Rory's going for the Grand Slam. Tiger's going for history again. And love for the Aberg is two back. Who are you wanting to win that?
Tiger Woods.
Are you?
Yeah.
But the Aberg wins, you've got like first major, he's done.
Couldn't give a bollocks about Aberg. And that's just
fair play.
That's just a raw, honest truth about it.
That is great.
Like, well done.
And we're not bothered about Rory getting the Grand Slam.
No, couldn't care less.
Just one Tiger to win the lot.
Yeah.
Would be sick, wouldn't it? What would be your dream scenario?
What would you want?
I agree, yeah. I do agree. I just didn't think it would be so. I thought you'd actually think about, like, you know, what people. Yeah, I agree. What would be your
like, there's not, that? Like, even like outside the golf, there's not a lot that, like, you could put in front of that I'd be like, you know, like, yeah.
I know, is it? That 2019 was heavy, wasn't it?
Oh, it was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, come Sunday, what's your dream scenario? Obviously, I know Tiger winning is the end goal, but Amen Corner on Sunday, what is your dream scenario?
I think Matt Fitzpatrick to be winning and Ludwig Aberg to be top debutant. One and two.
For the bet.
Yeah. Anything that gets me something back, yeah. Like, we obviously haven't got what Stu said yet, like the full tips, but anything that earns a bit of money is always good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some points in the bag.
Yeah, okay. I was more trying to get out of here, like, what would... For the excitement of watching the last two.
Oh, I'd like two live up there.
Okay.
Two Europeans.
Yeah.
And two big Americans. So like a Spieth, Schauffele, Rory, Fitzpatrick. Schauffele. Yeah.
Xander.
Yeah.
Robert Scheffler.
He's gonna be there or thereabouts anyway. I just mean like two like thingos.
So you're saying Scheffler and Tiger are there anyway?
Yeah, Scheffler and Tiger are there. Schauffele and Spieth. Rory and Fitzpatrick or AB or whatever, and then you've got like Rahm and Koepka, just or anyone, just two of each, just across the board.
Heavy.
I reckon that'd be good.
That would be heavy, that, yeah. I don't think I can beat that.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really good.
Because then you've just got the excitement, you've got the whole live drama, you've got the whole European thing, you've got Scott Rory could be in there for that, like if Tiger was there, come back, you're Scheffler going for... Whatever Aberg going for this, there's all sorts of scenarios, just not like Patrick Reed winning. That ruined things.
You've been the Masters.
Yeah, I don't know. Friday.
Perfect. Right then, always a pleasure. Shame we're not going to be doing this week in, week out, but.
We'll just have to buzz there. I think we just keep it rocking. We'll have a vote. We'll put it out to our 140 followers on the Appeal Media Hub.
If you're listening and you're wondering where we're going, we are now at Appeal on Media Hub. If you want to give us a follow, support us, please. And on that note, we'll see you all whenever the next pod is.
Bye.
Forever. Ciao.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.